Welcome to the Project Zion podcast. This podcast explores the unique spiritual and theological gifts Community of Christ offers for today's world.
Hello, and welcome to the Project Zion podcast. I'm your host, Carla Long. And listeners, I'm so sorry. I have a little bit of a cold today, so my voice isn't as, shall we say, melodious as you're used to hearing, but I really didn't want to miss this opportunity with our guest today. So I'm powering through because you're really going to enjoy today's podcast. I'm super excited to welcome Leandro Palacios from Toronto. Leandro, did I say your last name right?
That was perfect. Thank you, awesome. Carla.
Welcome. Well, thank you for being on the show, and please tell us a little bit about yourself.
But first of all, thank you for thinking about me. Thank you for inviting me once again. I really love to have this opportunity because it just it makes me look into what has happened in my life, in my ministry over the last few years. And so I'm Leandro. I am originally from Argentina, which, as it is true for most people, I grew up in the Catholic Church, you know, many, many years of Catholic education and First Communion, Confirmation, etc. Later on, I became a Buddhist for 10 plus years, very active member of a Buddhist organization, leading meetings and at a local level. And then later on, I decided to move to Canada in about, I think it was the year 2010, that I visited Community of Christ Toronto congregation for the first time. They invited me to sing there. And today, 10 years after, I am a minister of the congregation. Things have changed a lot. I lead meditation sessions. This year, they happen every Monday. And, you know, we also have the Sunday services, the Tuesday lectures. And I'm, to an extent, involved with all that, as well as things that are happening at the mission center level. So I also am, 2 years ago, I started working for Canada East Mission Center part-time. So yeah, so it's been a very interesting journey, and I'm delighted that anyone would like to hear about it. So thank you.
Leandro, I think interesting is an understatement. That what a fascinating story you already have. And I love that you said the word active Buddhist, because in my mind, Buddhism is very quiet and very introspective. And when you say active Buddhist, I was like, I wonder what that looks like. So I would be interested in having a conversation with you sometime about what that looked like, because that sounds really interesting.
That is just, I guess what I meant by that is that there was a time that I started reading about Buddhism, just trying to figure out what, you know, meditation was, what these practices were, but it was just like a side dish in my life. And eventually I found an actual Buddhist community. And of course, things are totally different. It's not like when you read things in a book. This is a living tradition, and people are doing things just like, you know, someone who has never been a Christian would have a hard time figuring out what actually happens or what it feels like to go to a church if you've never been to it.
That's absolutely right. And I think that's a really wonderful explanation. And I'm assuming that your time as a Buddhist kind of helped move you into the ministry that you provide in Toronto right now. Is that true?
Yeah, totally. I think sometimes I say that having had this experience with Buddhism has helped me ease into Community of Christ. Just growing up a Catholic, you are very suspicious of any other Christian tradition. So anything Christian that is not Catholic, you are suspicious about. You wonder why is that the case? And so it gave me an opportunity to just look at my own upbringing, my own, I would say, spiritual and religious background with a little bit of an outsider's perspective, so that it really expanded my understanding of what spirituality was, what God means, and what our relationship to God or the divine really is. That it really, I think, was necessary for me, because when I encountered Community of Christ, and when I started not only just getting to know the people, and they were all wonderful, but I also started like digging into, okay, so what do these people do? And so I encountered, oh, there's all these spiritual practices that are really emphasized and that are very important in this tradition. And the more I looked at it, the more I realized, well, there's a lot of meditative and spiritual practices. That's how I got interested in, like, in this whole new journey, the new chapter in my life. I thought, wow, I just didn't know that that would be a Christian community that would make so much emphasis on something like meditation.
Well, I know we try. We're not great at it everywhere, but we're certainly trying. I push spiritual practices in my congregation pretty hard. I think it's one of the most important things that we can do. So let's talk a little bit about it. You have these meditation gatherings at Toronto Center Place. How did it start? Why did it get started?
Okay, we started in April 2016. So it's been a while. This was soon after the congregation moved to a new facility, a new church building. The congregation was, or let's say, made the decision to sell the old church building that was too big for the size, for the reality of the congregation at the time. The decision was to move to the downtown area. So Toronto has a large, a very walkable downtown area, and it's very vibrant. There's a lot of people walking all the time, and it's very diverse, all kinds of diversity that you can imagine. And that's where the congregation moved. And one of the goals of stage, this new chapter in the life of the congregation, was, so we have to make sure that we invite the community into our church building, because no one was coming to the old building. The building was just sitting there, and the congregation was meeting just on Sunday. So what can we do to bring people to do something that is missional and that reflects who we are, that reflects our values, our principles, and yet has the potential to bring, non-members, people who had never heard of Community of Christ, into our church building. And so we started thinking about, well, we can have lectures, and that's what John Hamer does and has been doing ever since then on Tuesdays. And I decided, well, if in this church meditation is something that you can do, I'll do it. And so that's how this all got started.
I mean, that is really courageous to move to downtown Toronto. And I've seen the outside of your building, and it's very inviting. I think that is like the number one thing that we can do, is like be visible. And because we're so good at welcoming people, we're so good at wanting people to come and loving them if once they're there, we just need to get people through the door. So well done. That's very courageous.
Thank you. Yeah, we it's, I guess that was a little bit of a process to get the congregation into understanding that a church can look like something different. It doesn't have to look like a traditional building that you picture in your mind when you hear the word church. And in fact, everyone who walks in for the first time says, "Is this a church?" But But yes, so it's actually, in terms of when you think about how welcoming or how this carry factor has decreased a lot because people can't see what's happening inside, and that makes it a lot more welcoming to anyone who comes for the first time.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a reason why banks are like brick with no windows. Like they want people to feel like they're secure buildings and no one's going to get inside. And there's a reason why churches should be the absolute opposite of that.
Right.
Why they should be windows and why people can see inside and say, well, what they're doing isn't scary.
Right.
So I love what's happening. So while we're talking about people, who comes and how many times a week do you meet for? Oh, you said on Mondays, right? So who comes to your meditation session?
Because what we do is, in terms of invitation, is primarily online, including social media like Facebook, Instagram, and as well as a lot of local websites that list events, and even like local magazines, free distribution that people can get on a bus stop or a subway. So anyone comes. Look, and really, this is something that we were expecting, but we didn't know how, you know, how we would have to be prepared to receive people of all ages. You know, sometimes we get people who come with their little kids or their babies to the meditation. We get people of all religious backgrounds. And in Toronto, we have pretty much everything. So it's very common to get, you know, Muslims, you know, women wearing like the headscarves, and Sikhs with their turbans, as well as people who might be totally atheist that they just want, you know, the stress release or the anxiety release that mindfulness promises. We get Christians, we get Jews. So it is that's one kind of variety, and age is another variety. We get all people, young people, it's all ages. We get a diversity of income and education level because we are in a, what you would call the transitional gentrifying area. We get people who might be very wealthy and people who might be homeless, because we had a homeless shelter only a block away from the church. So it is really, you never know what you're going to get.
I love that. I mean, I know that sometimes it can feel a little bit stressful as a leader at times, you know, because there are different ways that you talk to different groups of people. And I understand that, but church is one of the few last places that we can go and be around people from all walks of life. And I think that's super important and eye-opening for all of us. So Leandra, what does like a typical meditation session look like? How long does it last, and what do people do?
When we started, and this is, I guess, almost 4 years ago, what we had was 1 hour. We first tried to do it every day, and it proved to be way too much work. So we reduced that to twice a week, 1 hour. The idea was to attract people in the after works rush hour, that it's pretty brutal. If you try to get out of downtown during rush hour, you really have to fight with crowds even to be able to get into a subway train. So the idea was, well, you have the option to either do that or maybe take this opportunity to meditate for 1 hour and then just get on the subway when things are a little bit more, you know, just easy. So in this hour, we start usually with an introduction, because there's always people who are there for the first time. So you have to let them know, this is what's going to happen. This is what you should expect. And this is what you should not expect. There's people who come who have never meditated before. And there's people who come who have perhaps a practice of many years. And so you have to somehow make everyone understand that that's the reality of the group. I start guiding the meditation, and the beginning is what you would find if you look for, let's say, a guided mindfulness meditation on YouTube, or if you go to a mindfulness studio in anywhere. So it is, it's very basic breathing exercises, relaxation exercises, but towards the end of the hour, I try to go deeper, and I often read a sacred text, and it may come from our scripture, from either Old Testament or New Testament, passages that I feel have a lot of spiritual meaning and that can help us deepen this that we're doing beyond simply the level of relaxation into something else. And I can I often read from sacred texts from other traditions, not just Christian, just to show that, you know, this is, we're not trying to proselytize here, and that has, I think, this has helped make people feel a little bit more comfortable when I'm reading the Gospels and a parable of Jesus during a meditation session, that perhaps they didn't expect to hear about the mustard seed parable when they were thinking of a mindfulness session. And towards the end, I leave them alone to do whatever feels right. If you want to, you can just do a silent prayer, or you can just deepen your meditation in a way that is more or less spiritual. That's up to you. I give you that opportunity. And that's what usually happens. But, you know, there's a little bit of variations every now and then.
That sounds really interesting and really cool. I mean, it just sounds like a place I would like to be. So I have told my congregation, yeah, it sounds great. I have told my congregation that when they do spiritual practices and when they are dedicated to spiritual practices, their life is going to change. So has this impacted your congregation, you doing these month or weekly meditation gatherings? Has it changed people in your congregation?
It has changed people in the congregation because it has made us realize that these people who come and meditate on Mondays, as well as the people that come to participate in the lectures and discussions on Tuesdays, are the congregation, and that's a reality. So the Sunday congregation is just part of this week-long congregation. It has been a little bit challenging. I shouldn't say a little bit, but it has been challenging to create a single identity as a congregation. I think that there are many, many factors that are causing this reality. But overall, the congregation on Sunday, whether or not they come to the Monday, the weekday meditations, they are very aware that there's these new, you may want to call it participants, members or friends of the congregation that are part of the life of the congregation. They think about them, and they have accepted meditation as part of the Sunday service, which is something that had never happened before. Like this awareness of, well, this is a spiritual practice that happens here that attracts a lot of people. Let's give it a try as part of what we regularly do on Sundays. Another thing that has happened is that there has been a little bit of crossover. People from from the meditation group have come to the Sunday service to see what's like. Not a lot of them come regularly, but some at least do come when there's something special, like an Easter service or a Christmas service. And another interesting thing is that because everything that we do is live streams on Facebook and YouTube now, often you see what people might, the Sunday folks might not come on a Tuesday, but they're going to be watching on Facebook and vice versa. The meditation people might not come to the Sunday, but they're watching. So that's, we still have to see what, you know, where that goes, where that leads.
I have enjoyed watching the lectures as well as the meditation. I really enjoyed that. So I think that's really cool that you have been dedicated to that, because that takes a lot of extra effort to make sure it's live streamed. That's a lot of work.
Well, I mean, just as a side note, for anyone listening to this podcast who might be interested in doing that, it takes a lot of initial effort, but once things are running, it's not really a lot more than you have to do. It's just like it's additional 5% of work. But of course, there's a setup stage that is you have to invest in time and perhaps equipment. But really, it hasn't affected too much like the ongoing prep that we have to do before each service.
Well, that's good. And so, just in case people are wanting to watch this, how do they find you on Facebook? Where do they go to look?
The easiest way is to follow our page on Facebook. That's Community of Christ Toronto Congregation. And if you follow the page, make sure that you get notified. And we go live every Monday, every Tuesday, and every Sunday. We really encourage people who are not just watch. We just really want everyone to participate, to be part of the experience, not simply as passive observers, but it has been really important. This awareness that we have here of all the people who really regularly participate in all our events, because now there's a sense that we know they're there with us. We are just one location out of many. And it really doesn't matter where you are, especially now that we're inviting more and more people to participate remotely, like, you know, giving sermons or a prayer or even like blessing the emblems that we serve here. So that has really, you know, just changed the way we do everything, even our Sunday service.
Oh, that's wonderful. I mean, the blessings of community that the internet can provide is pretty special. So I've asked you about how the meditation group has changed the people. And what about how the meditation group has changed you as a minister, as the leader? Have you felt changed in the last 4 years?
This is what I was saying at the beginning, that I really appreciate this opportunity, because it kind of forces me to think about what has happened, where I was when we started with these when we first had this idea, and where we are right now. And really, I mean, I have to say that what, in a sense, it has opened my curiosity to just continue to learn, and has, in a sense, in my mind, that was somehow that I had so many different components. The Catholic component, the Buddhist component, and now the Community of Christ component. And as a Community of Christ minister, sometimes I didn't know how to make sense of all that. Now, through this practice, somehow I've been able to just to reconcile, to make sense of who I am as a person. And that has been really important for my ministry. I guess, just to summarize all that, I can feel a lot more confident about my ministry. I can feel that I'm ready to offer ministry more than ever. I wasn't sure in the past I was ready to do it, but these meditation sessions and the meditation group that has emerged have really just changed something in me.
I love hearing that. And I love hearing that for a variety of reasons. But one of the reasons is I was right. I love being right. Well, I mean, it's so true that when you do spiritual practices.
I'm very transparent.
Well, I mean, you're wonderful, Leandro. No, what I meant was like when you do spiritual practices intentionally and with the expectation that you could be changed, you are changed. And when I do spiritual practices on the regular, my sermons are better. I'm kinder to people. I'm more compassionate to people. I just feel completely different than when I'm not doing spiritual practices. So I just always want to put that plug out there for people. They change who you are in a really, really positive, good way.
And this that you mentioned, it's just so, can be so powerful, that this, the sense that you can't help but be kinder and be just more willing to be there to help for anyone who just comes, and even like the people that you find on the streets, you know, you just see them differently. So that has been really a transformation. Downtown Toronto can be a little overwhelming sometimes. There's too many people, too many cars, too many pedestrians, cyclists, and we all kind of live in this tense environment sometimes, that everyone seems like an enemy when we're on the road, when we're just on the bike lanes. I ride my bike everywhere all year round, and it's a battle sometimes, and against other bikes, against pedestrians, against cars. And yet this ministry, it's a constant reminder that no, these are people and we're in it all together.
I love that you said that. I think that is such a beautiful byproduct of these spiritual practices. I think that that's the reason that God calls us to do them. One of my favorite quotes, and I of all time, is only 6 words long, and it's from Catherine of Genoa. And I could even be wrong. I could be saying it's from the wrong person, but it's called, or the quote goes, "The me in me is God." And I, the more we get to know ourselves through spiritual practices or through counseling or therapy, whatever, I feel like that's where God lives. And that's how we get to know who God is. So for me, that just makes so much sense. Anyway, that's just
the me in me is God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's powerful.
It is. And it's only 6 words long. So Leandro, I'm kind of hoping that we can help other people too. Like if other people are listening to this podcast and think, you know what, that could be really helpful for my congregation. Mm-hmm. Maybe we could use some of your knowledge on this. If another congregation wanted to do something like this, what are some tips for them, or what would they need to know to do that?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, the first thing that you have to ask yourself is whether this idea that you have in mind is missional in any way, whether it reflects who we are, our values, our principles. And most likely the answer is going to be yes. Second is, I guess, are you ready to just face it and face the reality? Because I mean, our expectation is that we're just going to start something new, and all of a sudden just people are just going to flood into our church building. And I heard that a lot. I've been to congregations in here in Canada East where they tell me, well, we started something, you know, we did all this, and it's a lot, so much work, and nobody came. And I can't help telling them, you have no idea how many times I meditated alone, just me in that room. And of course, it's not nice because you prepared a lot. You just like, you cleaned up, you set up the mats and the cushions and the chairs and the food. You went to the grocery, you did it all, and then nobody came. So that's not nice. But if, you know, you just can't give up. So you have to expect that it's not going to be easy. So that's number two. And then, you know, really is something that it's probably not true at every congregation, but it's true in a lot of congregations that I've been to, is that it's sometimes the space is not really conducive to spirituality. You walk into the room where we're supposed to just clear our minds. And the room is filled with clutter. There's piles of chairs and boxes and just things that have been there that no one has touched for years, because you probably, that's a room where you can do this event. And you have to remember, you have to make it easy for people sometimes, a little bit, to get into it. They're there for the first time. There's a lot going on in their minds, and you have to help them. Something that is I observed a lot is when just the impressions that people get when they walk into the room for the first time, and they see that the room looks in a particular way, and the reaction is, this is so spiritual. And at that moment, it's, you know, that their experience is going to be so much better. They're just going to let go of this fear that they have of being in a new place. And if they're not Christian, being in a church. Another thing, and this is, we learn this the hard way, is just don't get stuck with your initial idea. And sometimes we think that, well, we have to be innovative, and that innovation happens only once, and then that's it. You have to just go and keep trying. And that really, sometimes people will tell you how you should do things. That happens a lot. So you just pay attention to those clues that sometimes are not necessarily verbal, but you have to see what works and be ready to say, well, maybe Wednesday doesn't work. Let's try Tuesday. And maybe Tuesday doesn't work. Let's, et cetera. And finally, I think, and this is something that we learned, I guess, very recently, people, I feel, at least in a place like this, and in a big city, are really craving for community, really craving for making connection at a deeper level with other people, because they just don't have that opportunity anywhere. Because every conversation that you have with in your regular life is perhaps superficial. You don't have anyone to talk about important things. And so for a long time, we were not facilitating that. We were making people just meditate and have a good time with their practice. But I think that the community building is so important. And we only started this year, so we've only done it a few times, just really intentionally facilitating people's sharing. And that has been so far an enormous, immediate success.
I really love what you're bringing up here. I love that you're talking about uncluttering the space, which I think that people might not think about, you know? Also that, you know, sometimes when we start a new ministry in a congregation, we are so married to the idea that it has to be this way or no way. And I love that you brought up that, you know what, it doesn't always have to be one way. There's a lot of different ways that things could happen. And that community building part is essential. I feel like people are yearning to go deeper all the time. They're desperate for connection, because like you said, we go to our job. Like if you live by yourself, you get on the subway, you go to your job, you do your job, you get on the subway, you go home, and you're by yourself. And that's a hard life to live.
That's very hard.
And God did not want us to be all by ourselves all the time.
That's not who we are. We are social beings. Community, I mean, we just cannot survive isolated. And yet we are. I mean, we're just, I have to confess, I don't even know who my next door neighbors are. And that's the norm in the city. So it is very important not only to just provide this kind of ministry where people are just going to come and learn how to meditate and quiet the mind and have a personal spiritual experience, but also to bring this peace, this mindfulness, this spirituality outward. And in just build community with that. So this year we started a second event after the meditation that we had traditionally done. So we started at 6, and that's our the hour where we sit in silence, as I was describing before, and I guide, and then I let them do their own thing. But after that, we gather together and we have small group meditation. And this is something that it might be familiar to many of you because it goes by many names. We call it interpersonal meditation, but people call it things like sacred listening, listening circles, empathy circles, deep listening, active listening. Basically, one person speaks and the rest of the small group listens, and there's reflection and there's mindfulness in between. And really, that has totally changed the group. Like, people just doing that once, the next time they come, everyone's hugging each other and just talking about things. And it feels like this is a community. And we only started this month with this. So that, I wish we've known that before.
Well, I mean, there's always time. And like you said, you told, if you're starting this new ministry, be open to new ideas. And maybe it wasn't time mm-hmm. before, but it's definitely time now. So well done. We do something similar in the Salt Lake congregation for Sunday school, 2 Sundays a month. And we just do a check-in with people. And I ask mm-hmm. a few questions. And I have found that has strengthened our community more than probably anything else that we've done. So I think that's a really, really important point. Thank you for making it. Another issue that people have when they want to start a new ministry in a congregation is, how do you get connected with people? How do you let people know this is happening? And I know you've already mentioned Facebook and Instagram. I don't know if you mentioned Twitter or not, but do you have any other ideas for how people can get the word out there and connect mm-hmm. with others?
Yeah, I didn't mention Twitter just because I don't use Twitter personally, but if you do Twitter, then do use it, because there's people out there. We have the advantage that because we're right there on the street, and we put our sign and people see it. So we also get a lot of people from the neighborhood that just see, oh, there's meditation here. Let's try it. We're at a lower level of a condominium tower. So a lot of people from the building come thinking that this is part of the condominium. So yeah, my condo offers meditation, and they don't even know it's a church, but eventually they learn. But yeah, I think invitation is, I mean, I wish it were easier, but it's just something that you have to do constantly. And, but it can be very energizing. So, and we see the difference when we spend time inviting and when we don't, because sometimes we have, like, there was one Monday a couple of weeks ago that we had probably like 40 people who showed up for meditation. And there have been times very recently, there were, you know, less than 10. And the difference is, well, you have to make sure that you just keep telling people about it, because this is how, I mean, I guess it falls under the umbrella of marketing. If you see something on your screen, on your computer or your TV, and you see it just once, most likely you're not going to pay attention to it. You have to see it many times until you start noticing it. And people might see your invitation 20 times, and the 21st time they decide, okay, I'll try it. And then guess what? They keep coming back. So invitation is very important. And you do it on social media. You just have to figure out where people find out about events. We have, there's a lot of opportunities that we haven't even explored. There's this website, meetup.com, that I know has worked very well for other people here in Ontario and their groups. do go to other meditation groups in your area and just get to know the people there and get there's that's a great opportunity to just invite people and say, I have this group. And I don't think anyone's going to feel like there's offended or a violation of social norm that you invite them to your own group, as long as you're casual about it. But that has also worked because there's a lot of groups that are really do not provide any sense of community at all. And as I mentioned, I think that's a plus that we can offer because of the fact that we do it regularly and we're an institution and we're committed to it.
That's really helpful. You know, and something just popped into my mind. I wonder if someone else wanted to start a meditation group, maybe they go to like a yoga studio and talk to the yoga teacher and say, hey, if you want to put this out there, this is what we do for free. If you want to come, you know, just anytime you can get word of mouth out there, it's good stuff. Leandro, this has been really exciting to hear about. I love hearing that this is a ministry that you're offering and especially that community support aspect. I'm really impressed by that as well. So we're coming to the close of our podcast. You've told us a lot. Is there something that you wished I would have asked that I didn't ask or some more advice that you have to give us or anything else that you want to say?
Oh, well, I mean, I guess I have so many things in my mind right now, because like really this has been a great opportunity to just look into what has happened into this journey that our congregation has been walking the last few years. And I think that one of the things that I've been learning is not only how important in a practice that might appear on the surface so individual and private, the fact that even people who are looking for this kind of spiritual practice, they also are craving community experience. So that's one thing. Another thing is like, do not be afraid of letting people know that you're a church. There's at the beginning, we had that concern because this is down in Toronto is not necessarily very Christian. There are other places, perhaps. I mean, when I go to when I was at conference, Independence, Missouri, that's a Christian environment. And here the picture is totally different. And we were very concerned about that. And we were not hiding it, but not leading with it. And guess that actually doesn't matter. It's just like, it's actually a positive thing to say that you're a church that is doing these kind of things. And people get very impressed and they start asking about the church. They really feel like they want to learn about it. This is a church that is doing something that I might be interested in. So what is this church about? So, those things we learned little by little in this journey. And also as I'm just getting to know more and more our own community and people like you and just Katie, who are working on this kind of ministry, that are just developing this concept and these practices, the spiritual practices that we have in Community of Christ. There's so many people out there and we can be connected and there's a lot that we can learn from each other. And if you're about to start something, you're not alone. So ask about, I'm not sure if I should speak for everyone, but I think we're all just very willing and eager to share our experience in this journey. So yeah, if you think that you might, if you're considering starting a meditation group at your congregation, it probably is, that's your calling. That's where the Spirit is leading you today. So don't be afraid and just, we're here to help.
Oh, that is awesome. Thank you for those final words, especially because I'm a firm believer in when we have to force ourselves to do something, it's not the right way to go. But if you feel something calling you forward, it's pretty hard to deny that. So
how do you stop?
How do you stop indeed? So Leander, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Thank you for sharing your expertise with us. And I know it hasn't been an easy journey the last 4 years, but I appreciate you sticking with it.
Thank you. Thank you once again for this opportunity. No, it's been wonderful. So thank you so much.
Thanks again, Leandro.
Thanks for listening to Project Zion Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or whatever podcast streaming service you use. And while you are there, give us a 5-star rating. Project Zion Podcast is sponsored by Latter-day Seeker Ministries of Community of Christ. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Latter-day Seeker Ministries or Community of Christ. The music has been graciously provided by Dave Hines.